Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
Man.
At the club, Club 1080.
The hottest spot north of Milwaukee. Look at your nub.
I'm intrigued by your tot.
What happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week?
Bye!
You guys talk for a living.
He's not hard, Jason.
They don't want to just lay back and take it.
She is an unrelenting hoe.
I got two words for you. Fake vagina.
You can't argue with that.
Two key words.
Yeah, and it was actually three. It should have been giant fake vagina. Or was that the story of ducks?
I love the giant vagina.
Yeah, because we had two stories. We had the fake vagina on the hill that was giant, and then we found out that ducks have fake vaginas because apparently male ducks can't keep their duck parts to themselves.
All right, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to drink tonight. That's okay. What I'm thinking about.
Some iced tea, I'm assuming?
I just go back to the whiskey.
I have not had anything to drink since returning from Las Vegas.
Oh, really? Drying out, are you?
Yeah, sometimes you need to.
It's a big trip.
Sometimes you need to hit pause.
Been
for
there.
A little bit. Yeah. You ever get on the scale like after a trip like that?
Literally, no. I never get on a scale.
It's the worst thing you can possibly do. And then, but you kind of have to because you're like it. You need to shame yourself.
No, you don't. You already know.
You need to shame yourself.
I'm with Rob. The scale is one of the worst things you could do.
It's horrible.
Ever.
You know.
It makes you feel terrible. Even if you're doing well, it makes you feel terrible.
That's right.
Stop getting on the scale.
Because it always spits out a number higher. You're like, oh, I'm probably only... You're rationalizing it in your head. Like, oh, I'm probably only up 5. Ah, oh, damn it, I'm up 27.
It actually hurts more. Like, even if you're losing weight, right? And, like, let's say, like, the first week you lose, like, 6 pounds or something, or even more if you're doing, like, a really extreme diet.
Wow.
And then, like, week two, you lose, like, 1. And you're like, really? What am I even doing this for? It always sets the negative mindset.
See, mine is just...
Scales are stupid.
I get on a scale, not every day, but...
It's official. Scales are stupid.
See, I
it's official.
I go the other way.
You can't argue.
Scales are accountability. Because it's easy for you to be like, oh, well, I'm doing okay and it's not that bad. Oh, you know, it's just a little here and there.
But you know.
But if you get on a scale, exactly, you know deep down. But if you get on a scale every week, you actually have to look down at it and be like, all right, fatty, time to cut it back. Especially after you go away for a vacation or whatever. And a lot of that is just, you know, water weight and booze and it'll go off real quick. But it's the reminder of you treated your body like a 7-Eleven parking lot for 4 or 5 days. Maybe it's time to scale it back a little bit and mix in some water.
I feel like that was a little unfair to parking lots and 7-Eleven.
What do you have against 7-Eleven parking lots?
You ever seen a 7-Eleven parking lot? It's just full of like empty liquor bottles and
they are kind of
drug bags.
Now that I think about it, the two that I can picture in my head are terrible parking
lots.
Why
is that?
Exactly.
Why does it feel so gross when you pull up to a 7-Eleven?
Have you seen the people that hang outside of a 7-Eleven?
Well, but there's people that hang out. There's gross people all over the place. Okay.
Yes.
Why only 7-Eleven? Well, not only, but you know what I mean.
And why does it feel like the parking lot's always haphazard?
Maybe they don't...
Like, why are there, like, random spots in different places that don't make sense in front of a 7-Eleven?
Because that's the magic of... When you have an A... And it's the same thing...
Mike's right about that.
An AM/PM or a whatever, a Plaid Pantry. It's all the same. The mini-mart is the... Let's say it's the divider between, like, normal society and, like, the Silk Road. Like, nothing good has ever gone down inside or outside of a 7-Eleven. Like, you're either running in to just grab something really quick, and it's never like, I'm going to go in and get an apple. You're either running in because it's like an emergency bathroom run, or you're on your way to somewhere and you're buying, like, beer, or you're buying, like, beef jerky or something, like, disgusting. Or it's the people that actually do their shopping at 7-Eleven, and then it's just alcohol and Funyuns. There's nothing good, and then there's always strange people loitering in front of a 7-Eleven.
Always. With crap piled in their car.
Yes. Oh, exactly. You look in the car and you're like, what the hell is going on there?
Fascinating.
Because they're open like 24/7, and so they're able to just kind of sit in there, and someone's like, hey, buy something or leave. Great. Here's my 99-cent beef jerky. I'm hanging out for 6 more hours.
Well, but there's really... All of that is true, but there's really no explanation for why the 7-Eleven is like stands out in this category, you know, because there's a lot of places people like that loiter. And,
yeah, it's the gold standard. You know?
Well, it's that type of store because Suka's right. Like Plaid Pantry's the same way.
Yeah. There was a Plaid Pantry down from like where we grew up and when we were kids. That was like our, you know, it's like, hey, let's get on our bikes and we'll go down to the Plaid Pantry. There was always something going down behind the Plaid Pantry. Like if you wanted to get into some stuff, whatever it is, like you're a teenager and you were looking to get into something, behind the Plaid Pantry on McGilvery was always the place to go. And then at one point there was an old mattress behind the Plaid Pantry.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that for Baker Mayfield?
Exactly.
Well, no, he's high end. He goes to the Cheesecake
Factory. Cheesecake
Factory.
He goes to
the Cheesecake Factory.
Hey, are we going to do this or what?
Now, I was never cool enough to hang out back by the mattress, but I knew the cool, like, the older kids, like the ninth graders. Oh, yeah. They were all about the mattress behind the Plaid Pantry.
Is there a store that has more cars driven through the front of it than a 7-Eleven?
No.
You mean in terms of...
Yeah, someone plowing right through the middle
of it?
Yeah,
I mean, it could be an accident. It could be intentional. I don't know. Just... Because it's always an all-glass front with the doors and the windows. So a car inevitably will drive through it and shatter the entire thing. I've seen that happen. The one by where I grew up had that happen like 3 times.
Yeah. Like, because the person that's loitering in front of the 7-Eleven, they have to get there. And sometimes we know that the breaky brake on the foot doesn't work so well.
And if they're high, they might think they're on the wrong
exactly, pedal. And they go right through it. If you work at a 7-Eleven... Can I just ask the question? Do you just accept the fact that there's a good chance that you are going to be robbed and or shot? Because I feel like when you work there, you just understand that that's part of the mission. you've accepted that sort of hazard pay.
Yeah, somebody texts and says it's like there's a glaze in the parking lot. That's right.
Shame glaze.
It's just, and it's palpable.
Yep.
And it's worse when it's hot.
Oh, yeah. 100%
a sticky shame glaze.
Humid.
We pulled over at a 7-Eleven on
moist,
our way
methy
down to San Francisco.
Moist.
The little border town, right?
Where?
As you're getting ready to cross the Oregon-California border. The last real town in Oregon.
In Oregon?
Yeah. Is that Medford?
Well,
I mean, that is on the way. I don't know if that's the last
town. But
no,
it's...
but it might have been. There's a 7-Eleven right off the freeway down there that we pulled over. And from a distance, we were like, oh, we had to get some gas. Kids had to go to the bathroom, and it was late at night. I'm like, you'll get, like, an energy drink or whatever. I told the server, we pulled over into that 7-Eleven, and I had to shepherd each one of the kids to the bathroom. I literally was like, okay, everyone get in the car, lock it. I will take each one of you individually to the bathroom. There was – it was the worst 7-Eleven known to man, and there was a lady outside kind of working the parking lot. And I can't believe that she was getting...
Things are looking up.
No, they were not. Things were looking down. And Ashland. And my son just like looks over at me and he figured out what was going on. This was like 2 years ago. And he looked at me and said something to the effect of, people pay her? And I was like, yes, son. Yes. Yes, they do. It was...
He learned a lesson that day.
He learned a lesson. And it's a lesson everyone has to learn. You don't necessarily have to be attractive in order to be a sex worker. You really don't. You just have to be willing to do what the other person won't.
Here's somebody that says any store on 82nd has a full-on city behind it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a whole nother.
It's, yeah.
Whole nother, you know, like.
You go behind there. It's,
subsection.
Yeah, what is the platform? What's the Harry Potter? Is the platform like 8 3/4 or whatever, 9 3/4? It's a portal into another world, Narnia, if you will. But instead of like wizards and lovable animals that speak to you, there's a lot of drugs and ugly prostitutes.
Well, some of them may be pretty. Come on, man.
And yes,
everyone's pretty in their own way, Jason.
The smell of urine is strong behind any plaid pantry or 7-Eleven.
And in front of, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Nowadays, yes.
Do you ever go into a 7-Eleven?
Very rarely.
Yeah,
I don't really either.
Every once in a while, you have to.
I don't know
to.
What I would, like, for what? That's my question. What are you going into a 7-Eleven for?
The last time I went.
I can name one item that I go to a 7-Eleven for.
When I was admiring the Jason Quick backyard, I was tasked with getting ice.
Ice,
on my way
there you
to
go.
His place.
That's a good one.
Stopped at 7-Eleven, got some ice.
Sometimes if I didn't have a chance to make coffee at home, I'll run to a 7-Eleven to get one of those like pre-made Starbucks coffee cans.
Okay.
Right. My girlfriend will get like an energy drink there, but that's about it.
Look, you go there to take a dumper.
That's like, whoa.
You're on your way home and it's an emergency and you're like, well, the 7-Eleven it is. Road stop.
For me, it would be like a Gatorade.
Yeah.
And that's it.
But usually like you're on your way somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you're on your way
home. Going to golf.
Yeah, you're going to golf or something. You swing by, you're like, oh, I'll grab a Gatorade at 7-Eleven. But the people that are loitering around out there realize that is where they shop. That's where they get their day-to-day.
It's their Nordstrom's.
Yeah. They get the rolling hot dogs and the chicken bites. And
it's delicious.
It's their place, man. Mm. And you know what? It's their territory. When you go in it, you're their guest. And you treat them with respect.
Yeah,
don't make eye contact.
I know. I follow their rules, man. Yes.
That's their world.
Also, sanitize my hands.
Exactly. And if you don't, there's a good chance someone there will shank you.
All right. Coming up next, we have grown a fifth ocean. This is The Club on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Got a little geography news that you can use.
I'm up.
I think you mean you're down.
No, I'm up for it.
Oh.
Do you love me some geography?
I'm up for a 7-Eleven. I kind of feel like going to get a Slurpee now.
So we only have, boy, I haven't had that in.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It's been a long time, but they're so delicious.
45. I probably haven't had a Slurpee in 33 years.
It's been a long, long time. But the red cherry Slurpee, I think that's the OG. I never got into the Blue Raz or the Coca-Cola.
I love the Blue Raz.
Now, do you ever wonder, so you're talking about the 7-Elevens?
7-Eleven Slurpee.
Or mixing two flavors together.
Do you ever wonder, like you were talking about employees there, you know, and they have to kind of put that together. And
yeah.
Does that worry you at all? What might be in there?
I'm assuming the Slurpee is just like
what do they do? Do they just...
I think you just dump it. It probably comes
they
in
They dump a thing in and then it freezes.
Yeah, and then it just kind of mixes it up. It's in that little churn machine or whatever.
Yeah.
I think everything at a 7-Eleven literally comes in a bag and then you just dump it out. Hot dogs come in a bag and you dump it on those rollers. Slurpee comes in a bag, you dump it out. The ice cream machine, it comes in a bag, you dump it out.
You ever wonder how long they leave that stuff on those hot rollers?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how many days?
I think about that all the time. just that perpetual sweaty meat rolling till its demise.
I mean, do you guys really get stuff from there? Like, do you eat that?
I can't say that I've ever had like a hot dog at 7-Eleven.
I haven't either.
I went through a little phase. So in high school, senior year, we had open lunch. We could go out and get lunch wherever we wanted. And there were not too many places within walking distance. One of them was 7-Eleven. So once a week for like 3 months, me and my friends went and got 7-Eleven food for lunch.
What'd you get?
We would get like the taquitos, which would be rolling on the thing. I never actually got a hot dog, but whatever else they had up there, I would get that. Sometimes you would go get like one of those like cherry pie prepackaged things, and I don't know, just
maybe some fingernail clippers,
some dental floss,
and obviously Slurpees,
and a Playboy,
box of Magnum condoms, you know, things of that nature.
Well, okay, weird store. I think I've gotten a donut out of there. You know, like,
how is the 7-Eleven donut?
Terrible. But, you know, sometimes you're in a pinch. You know,
you can also get, like,
the coffee.
The Entenmann's pre-box donuts there, right?
Yeah, the Entenmann stuff is good. Their coffee cake, that's quite tasty.
So we have a fifth ocean, at least according to National Geographic.
I did not know this.
This is the first time in more than 100 years. The National Geographic Society has mapped the world's oceans, and it will recognize five oceans, not four.
So, what, was there an ocean hiding? What, is this like a Pluto thing?
Or was it small, so they didn't call it an ocean, and now they're calling it an ocean?
Well,
is it somewhere in the Pacific? Because that's a big one.
Well, you know that in the ocean, you can have lakes and rivers, right?
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
To think about?
It's like where the seafarer is, man. You catch the current.
Yeah. So they're saying now, so we have our four oceans.
Yes.
The Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian, and the Antarctic.
I always thought it was just the Arctic.
I was just trying to see if you guys were listening. It indeed is the Arctic, Chase. Okay. Now the fifth ocean is going to be called the Southern Ocean.
Okay.
Yeah, this has been, I've seen this on maps before, and I was like, I didn't know there was a Southern Ocean.
And it's the ocean. Just draw a circle around Antarctica, and that's the Southern Ocean.
Okay. So it's...
So instead of, like, it being the bottom, or top, I suppose, maybe the bottom, of the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Ocean, it's just another ocean?
Yeah, they're just calling it the Southern Ocean. I don't know why they're doing this.
Okay.
But so scientists are doing it, so.
So.
Suck on it.
But all the other oceans are still connected? Does it only go out, like, so far? Because the.
Yeah. Yeah, it only goes out so far. So it says here, scientists have long known there's a distinct ecological region around Antarctica.
Okay.
But at least. In the international scientific community, there hasn't been agreement on the name and boundary of this body of water.
So am I to understand that depending on where you were at on Antarctica, you could have been in the Pacific, the Atlantic, or the Indian?
That seems to make sense, right?
You could have, depending on where you were at, what side of it you were on, you were on one of those. And now...
Now they're saying it's its own thing.
You've just got a little...
You ain't in any of them, bitch.
It's like one of those... Is that the POG that goes on the back of your phone? One of those pop socket things?
Oh, yeah.
We now have a pop socket on Antarctica? We've thrown an ocean around it?
My wife has one of those.
Yeah,
do you have one of those?
I used to have one on my old phone, and quite frankly, I thought it was quite useful.
Yeah, you liked it?
Yeah, I did.
Is that where you put your finger in there?
Yeah, it's just like
do a little.
You do like a Spock thing. Like it sits there.
Not all of them have holes in it. Sometimes they're just round, and you wrap your hands around.
Yeah, that's why I said like mine was just the Spock one. Put it in between fingers, or the shocker, if you will, whatever, whatever you're into.
The shocker, he says.
I'm not here to judge.
You pervert.
How do you know what that is?
Oh, I know what that is. I'm from Wichita, or I'm from Kansas. The Wichita Shockers. That was a whole thing when we were kids.
I bet it was.
Wichita State Shockers. Oh, yeah, we did a lot with that.
Can I ask what exactly is the Wichita Shockers as opposed to...
Like the wheat shock.
Oh. Oh, that makes sense.
What is a wheat shock?
Well, it's a part of the wheat, the top of the wheat.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's what it's called.
That waves around. The shocker, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Good to know. You learn something new every day.
Now, the real shocker, though, I'm holding it up right now.
We don't need to do
that. Actually, it's like that.
There you go.
What were you doing?
Like, it's like that.
Rob was apparently wanting to rock out.
I was rocking out.
I guess.
Well, in a lot of different ways, you know.
Sure.
Anyway, National Geographic is now, they are now saying that we do have a fifth ocean. It is time that we acknowledge the fifth ocean, and it will be the Southern Ocean, and they will hear nothing to the contrary.
Can I ask the question?
Okay.
If we have the Arctic Ocean, which is the one up north,
mm-hmm.
why didn't they just call it the Antarctic Ocean?
That's a good question. I don't know why they named it the Southern Ocean.
So,
I don't know.
Quite frankly, that seems a bit lazy. You know, Southern Ocean.
Well, you know, scientists.
I just thought you could...
Not exactly thorough.
Look, to drum up some interest, I think you could come up with a much cooler name, like Bodie McBoatface. You could have Ocean McOceanface. Something cool. Southern Ocean. I give that two thumbs. And by the way, you'll never see the Southern Ocean.
Never. No. Not in my life.
My buddy went to Antarctica, and he loved it. Like, he thought it was was amazing.
Antarctica?
To see. Antarctica. Yeah, not Antarctic. Antarctica. Yeah, he went there, and I have a picture of it in my house. Some of the most amazing photographs I've ever seen that he took there off of the ship. And they sailed from, I believe, Chile is where they sailed from. And I guess the sea in between the... Antarctica in South America, it's like the worst water in the world. And like everyone, they were on like this big like freighter ship, and he just said everyone was just puking their guts out.
Yeah, it's choppy out there.
He just says it is an absolute nightmare. So count me out for the Southern Ocean. I'm good.
What is the proper pronunciation? Is it Chile?
I think most people just say Chile, but I do think
it's Chile.
I think it's Chile.
Of course, our really smart listeners will let us know.
Probably. That, and we're probably going to sound pretentious because when, like, white people try to pronounce, like, you know, things like Latin things with a little bit of a flair, you just seem like a real a-hole.
Right. Does it, when somebody says...
Nicaragua. You're like, oh, okay.
Nicaragua.
All right, James.
I'm going to Nicaragua.
Yeah, you sound like a douche.
When I say Chile, do you think less of me if I say, I'm going to Chile?
Not if you just say Chile, but if you do the it's about.
I'm going to Peru.
Yeah, then I think you're pretty douchey. Like you're trying a little. You're trying a little hard
there, fella.
A little too hard.
All right, well, boom, Southern Ocean, bitch.
What's next? These damn scientists, they can't make up their mind.
What is next?
It's always changing. Well, Pluto is Pluto back to being a planet?
No, I thought they kicked it out.
I thought they kicked it out, but then I thought they might have brought it back.
Why would they do that?
I think it's now a dwarf planet. I think they gave it like half credit.
Yeah, but it's not one of the like...
No, it's not one of
the kids won't be learning about it.
It's not one of the big ones, but I do think that they gave it dwarf planet status.
All right. Up next, let's get to Siberia.
We're all gonna die.
We're all gonna die. Here's Mike.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You know, somebody points out that Swigard, our very own Jason Swigard from Morning Show fame,
100%.
He rolls his R's and like pronounces. He does that.
Yeah. All the time. And he does it. He's like Alex Trebek has that when he does when he did do Jeopardy, because he didn't do it anymore.
And Swigard, you know one of Swigard's heroes is Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek.
Yeah, we still hood famous.
And maybe that's why he does it, but 100% anytime Swag pronounces anything with any sort of ethnic background to it, he always does the accent.
So listen to the high school sport or a high school football games, and he'll be like, "That's Eduardo Rodriguez." That's Eduardo Rodriguez.
Like the only time
he's speaking his normal way the entire time, and then instantly drops into the accent.
Yes,
like, it sounds so funny.
I sometimes will joke around. The only thing I can think of, and I do it on purpose, is I say Montreal, just because that's like a Barry Melrose thing. But Swag will do that for real, like when he's talking about hockey. He'll pronounce all the Canadian, you know, in Quebec. He'll be like, Quebec in Montreal. I'm like, wow.
Is it Quebec? I don't think so.
Swag's he's a citizen of the world.
He is. He's so worldly. And by the way, Swigard has a big ponytail. You know, somebody forwarded on, somebody caught a photo of Swigard in the wild. Oh, that was, him doing the hops games?
He was doing the hops.
And boy, we haven't seen him in a long time. They moved to the mornings.
Yeah,
he's got a big old ponytail going.
Yeah, it's not like a little sort of, you know, sometimes you get guys a little longer hair and they can do a little thing back there. His is a full on like eighth grade girl ponytail.
He looks like an aging lesbian.
Well,
like you like to say, he's turning into.
He's 50, right?
I think he's in his. I think he's in his 50s.
There is something about men when they get into their 50s where some of them, not all, but they do kind of morph into middle-aged lesbians. I was watching a thing on. Do you watch like 80s wrestling, right?
Oh yeah, back in the day, sure.
Do you remember Greg the Hammer Valentine?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day.
Please
now.
Do me a favor right now and work a Google image on Greg the Hammer Valentine and see what he looks like. Because he may be the leader in the clubhouse for middle-aged dudes that have turned into lesbians. It's unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching a thing on like.
Look at that.
It is unbelievable. There was a thing on A&E is doing a bunch of biographies now on old wrestlers, right? So they did one like on Macho Man and The Ultimate Warrior and this and that. And then after it, there's a show called like the WWE's Greatest Treasures or something where they send old wrestlers out to find like their memorabilia. And they had this last one I was flipping through and I clicked on it and it was Brutus the Barber Beefcake, who now is literally the size of a real cake. He's like 400 pounds. He's enormous.
I don't think there's any cakes that are 400 pounds, Suk.
Like a big wedding cake that you could hide like a stripper in.
Okay.
Like that sort of beefcake.
Brutus the Barber.
Yeah, time has not been kind.
Forgot about him.
And they had Greg the Hammer Valentine on there, and I was like, oh my God, look at Brutus the Barber. And then right after that, they showed Greg, and I was like, wow. Holy middle-aged lesbian. Time. And they were like driving around together in a car, and that is... That is just not a good glimpse
into
anyone's future.
If Brutus Beefcake walked up to me and was like, hey, I'm Brutus Beefcake, I'd be like, you're not Brutus Beefcake.
You'd have no idea, right?
He looks totally
he looks terrible.
Different. Well, he's bloated a little, but
yeah, what that you know, bloated doesn't even, bloated doesn't even begin to describe.
He was a good wrestler too, wasn't he? He was kind of fun. Yeah, had that little strut.
Yeah, he was a big guy, and he had like the hedge clippers and all that.
And man, that was back when wrestling was great.
Everyone had to have like a theme. You know, I always loved like an 80s wrestling where like you were a dentist, so you wore a dentist outfit out to the ring. And then you try to pull someone's teeth out. Remember they had like they had an IRS agent, and so he just like dressed
the briefcase.
He
right?
dressed like with a briefcase and like a shirt and tie. You're like, what? And it's like, yeah, here's the dude from the swamps of Carolina. So he wore like a like he was tracking like a bass or something.
So wait, what are they unthawing in Siberia?
Oh. Yeah, so I guess the...
On that note.
Yeah, so there's a, you know, permafrost, right? Where the ground never thaws.
Okay.
And so you can't dig into it anything. You can't dig plumbing or whatever. Well, up in Siberia, because of global warming, there's parts of Siberia now that are starting to thaw out. And so they're kind of... Some of the ice shield is going away.
I thought it was a hoax.
No, that's a real thing. Although, the Russians love it. I saw a thing on Vice. I guess Russia loves global warming because a lot of their places that were so miserable are starting to warm
climate
up.
Climate change, please.
Yeah, people are like, yeah, let's speed it up. So I guess scientists discovered there are these tiny little, they're multicellular animals. It's called a belidoid, and it's been frozen in the Siberian permafrost for over 24,000 years.
Cool.
Here's the thing. As they're unthawing it, it came to life and it started moving around. And now it's eating and it's reproducing asexually on its own.
Why is this a bad thing?
You have something that lived in ice for 24,000 years that has managed to survive and is now reproducing on its own and could fit inside your bloodstream. We're all gonna die. Have you seen The Thing? This is the plot of The Thing.
I'm looking... Oh, the movie? I'm looking at the image of this.
Yes.
It seems rather mundane.
Right up into... Are you gonna go and dink around with that? Because I promise you what's going to happen is there's going to be some sort of mysterious illness coming out of Siberia. And we're like, where did this come from? The thing that was frozen for... nothing that's frozen for thousands of years... should be able to be brought back to life and then have sex with itself and start reproducing on its own. Hmm. It looks like a little translucent worm.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
we're dead. 100% this is going to be the end of us. You thought COVID was bad. Wait until this thing hits us.
So they, I'm reading here, it says they don't really know what allows them to survive for that long.
Exactly.
In the ice.
No one knows.
And they also don't know if... like if the difference between a few years and several thousand years is even a thing to them.
Yeah.
Like it to like them
once
it's like
you go to sleep, whatever, right?
Yeah, to us it's like, oh, you finally woke me up after 24,000 years. To them it's probably like, hey, could you let me sleep a little longer?
Either that or they wake up and they're horny, so that's why they just have sex with themselves and start cranking out more of these things.
Mm.
They had to dig down almost 12 feet into the ice. To find this
thing. That's amazing.
Yeah, all I know, I've seen enough sci-fi movies to know that this doesn't end well. Stop messing with Mother Nature. It's bound to bite us in the ass.
Wow. All right, John has a 7-Eleven story next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080 The Fan.
You must stay tuned because coming up after us is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec. Here is John. Hello.
What is up, gentlemen? What is up?
You are, dude.
I'm here. Let's do this.
It's your time.
I told Mike to make sure I had more than 45 seconds because I have a good 7-Eleven story to share.
Ooh, please. Are you whispering?
I'm in the movie theater.
Yeah, I can tell you were talking low for some reason. You're watching a movie and you're talking to us?
Well, the movie is about to start, so I have stepped out, but I forgot to mute my phone, so I was the guy in the previews whose phone went off, and then I left.
Oh my God.
Way to go.
Your commitment to us is amazing. I just need to thank you.
You're welcome. So right next door to the theater I'm in is an empty theater right now, so I'm standing in the empty theater talking to you guys before I go back into my theater to finish watching my movie.
Okay.
Okay. What movie?
So, it's the 40th anniversary of Raiders of the Lost Ark. So it's Indiana Jones on the big screen. They're showing it because it's 40th anniversary and it's $5 and that's worth seeing. My buddy brought his kid and was like, "You want to go see Indiana Jones?" And I said, "Yep." So here we are.
That movie's under some controversy right now. People are trying to cancel it.
Why?
Because in the movie, the gal tells Indiana Jones that when they had their affair, she was just a child. And he says, knew what you were doing.
Come on. Okay. We'll leave that.
Let it go.
Let it go, man. Yeah. Let it go.
Okay. So I heard you guys with your hot 7-Eleven talk. I have a good 7-Eleven story.
All right.
So this is about 10 years ago, maybe. And 7-Eleven was running this promotion. It was with the NFL where you could get a Slurpee, and then you could get a special straw that had a little NFL helmet on top of the straw. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Yes.
And my oldest son was super into that. Like, he was trying to collect all 32 teams. And so he's like, "Dad, this is the coolest thing ever. Plus, Slurpees are delicious." So there was like a 3-week period where we went out of our way to travel around Vancouver and get as many 7-Elevens as we can, trying to collect all these NFL helmet straws. So this one day, he wasn't with me, but I was like, "You know what? I'm down in the older part of Vancouver, and here's a 7-Eleven that we don't ever go to. I'm going to run in there and see what kind of helmets they have." Because he had like 3/4 of the helmets. I'm like, "Maybe I can find him a team he doesn't have. He'll think it's super cool. I'm going to go check it out." Now, this is an older part of Vancouver. This is down on 4th Plain. And I was telling Mike, like, you could put a 7-Eleven in the Hamptons, and it instantly becomes the shadiest place in the Hamptons, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
So if it's already in a shady neighborhood, it's just that much more shady. And this was by far the shadiest 7-Eleven that I had been to in Vancouver. So I go into the store, and there's nobody in there except for the clerk. And the clerk is exactly who you think would be clerking at the shadiest 7-Eleven in Vancouver. So I go over to get the Slurpee stand, which, by the way, the Slurpee stand is always in disarray. Like, there's always like a giant wad of blue raspberry Slurpee melting on the floor. The cups are thrown around. The lids are all over the place. The straw wrappers are everywhere. And this place is no different. So I'm wading through the mess, trying to see what kind of NFL helmet straws they had. And I hear the little ding that means somebody has come in, right? You know, ding. And so I turn around, and the guy that has come in goes over and starts talking to the clerk like they know each other, right? And after a few seconds, I'm loading up my Slurpee. The clerk turns to me. I'm the only other one in the store. The clerk turns to me and says, "Hey, buddy, can you watch the place for a second?"
No way.
What?
And I said, "What?" And he goes, "Just keep an eye on things for a second. I'll be right back."
All right.
Yes.
And I looked, at him, and I'm like, "What? Like what?
John?
What?" And he goes, and then he got like mad at me, and he goes, "Dude, it'll just be for a second.
Just watch
right
the
back.
Freaking store."
Yeah, I'm with this guy.
I gotta do some drugs.
Come on, John. What are you doing?
So he leaves. He goes out of the front of the 7-Eleven with this dude that comes in, and now I'm all alone in the 7-Eleven.
Sweet.
And I'm like, "What? Like, what do I do? Like, what am like?
You still be jerky,
right?" And so I'm looking around, and I'm like, "This is like super weird. Like, am I on camera? Is this a setup to see if I'll steal something? Like, I'm gonna steal a whatchamacallit, and then the federales will come rushing in, and it's all on Dateline with that weird guy that sets people up." So I'm like, all right, I'll just stand here. And I keep waiting. And it probably wasn't very long, but it felt like forever. And the guy wouldn't come back. And I'm just like, please, nobody show up. Please, nobody show up. And then the door, ding, and somebody comes in. And it's not the guy. It's another customer. And so now I'm in the store with the other customer. And I'm like, what do I do? And I kind of head up towards...
Get out of there.
Yeah, you run.
I kind of head up towards the... Well, I'm watching the place. Like, I told the guy to watch the place. So I go up to the counter, and there's the little, like, gap in the counter where an employee would go back in behind the register.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't go back there. Like, the sign clearly says employees only.
You're not authorized.
I'm not authorized. So I just kind of hover in that general area, and I'm just standing there trying to look like I don't know. And I'm watching the person, and I'm like, please just, like, be browsing. Like, take a minute. And I keep looking at the door to see if the clerk will come back, and nobody comes back. And pretty soon the guy, like, he gets, like, a 2 liter of pop and, like, some Funyuns and something else, and he approaches the counter. And I'm like, crap, like, what do I do? Like, do I try to check him out? Do I just tell him it's $5 and take the $5? What do I do?
Just give me $5. I love that you're contemplating, do I try to check him out? I love that you're, doing this guy a solid. Like, you know what? I think I'm going to work the register. They need me.
Got
to
clean the bathroom.
They need me. They're going to lose this sale.
Right. And I'm like, well, what is this like? What if the guy's going to pay with a debit card? I don't know. I don't know how to do that. I can't even open the register. I don't work. And so, it felt like an hour. I'm sure it was just a few seconds. But I'm standing there, and the guy approaches the counter, and he puts his stuff down like he's going to pay. And now it's the moment of truth. And he looks at me, because I'm not behind the counter. I'm in the little entryway to the back. And he looks at me, and I said, he'll be right back. And the guy's like, oh, okay. And then the guy, and the clerk comes back in, and he sees what's going on. And as he walks by, he comes by the customer, he turns into the little gap. As he comes by me, he pats me on the shoulder like I'm his buddy. And he just gives me a point, and he's like, thanks, pal. And I get in line to pay for my station. And he's like, no, you're good. Just go ahead. And I got 3 Slurpees and 3 NFL straws, and I left, and I drove home. And to this day, I don't know what he did out there.
I do.
We
I
all know what
we,
he did.
We know what he did.
But how long do you think it was?
Like I said, it felt like forever. I'm going to guess 3 or 4 minutes tops, maybe 5 at the most, but... Like, I couldn't get out of there. I was all sweaty, and I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And, the whole way home, I'm like, what happened? Like, what just happened?
And then, the place.
Hey, thanks, buddy. And so, but I got a free Slurpee out of it and, 4 helmet straws that my son didn't have. So I was cool dad for the day.
I love there was another guy there, too. What would he have done had John not been there?
Yeah.
Right? And the clerk was outside doing, God knows what.
He's walking. Right? What is happening?
He'd probably just stand there and wait. I mean, you got to assume somebody's coming back. You just probably assume they're in the back.
Yeah. And I've never gone back to that 7-Eleven because I'm not. Like I said, it was 10 years ago, but I really believe that guy is still there somehow. And if I go in, I'll be watching the story.
Go in there and pick up your bonus check.
Profit share.
Good stuff.
All right, have a good night. Enjoy your movie.
All right, see you guys.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Probably should end there.
Probably.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec is coming up next. We are back tomorrow, 3-7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red chips of Spain. Red chips of Spain.
I got 1.6 inches.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Price and coverage match limited by state law.